it's really amazing. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2:29, welcome them in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like them, because they were risking their life to make up for the help you couldn't give them. So actually, they went for us, and thank you very much that they. We couldn't go to the church there, but definitely they went for us. And before the Lord, Cornerstone was in Mexico in the east, and we saw from the picture how the east people, how they are different from us. They have black eyes. But I would say that the blessing of America is in those who go for America to spread God's word. I met people in Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Egypt, everywhere I met Americans. And I understood why God still blessed this country. Not the American army is keeping the democracy. They are keeping the democracy. They are keeping the blessing of this country. And I'm thinking for the next year, we have at least 15 places where the people are saying, come to help us. My faith is not so great for 15 places, but I dream to have at least 3 more places for the next year to go. And that's why those who feel this calling on going out, spreading God's word in those places, unreached places, just come to Jack Kennedy or Jen Erickson and sign up. And we'll know to whom to approach, to ask to go for us. So it's a need. It's a need not to be focused only on ourselves, but to go to help other churches. And today we'll continue to discuss, to talk about church. And for the church to be healthy, to be sound, to grow, at least 3 conditions have to be met. First, the church needs to have Bible teaching and Bible preaching. That's the first condition. Without that, no church will grow. The second, the church needs to have a direction, because how will we go somewhere if we don't know, we don't understand where we are going to? We need to have a clear vision. And that's why during the 3 months I was teaching the goal of the church. And third, we need to give the freedom to the people to serve. For us leaders, it's very important not to usurp the leadership, to give to everybody freedom to serve, to get involved in the body of Christ. But even meeting those 3 main conditions, anyway, there is one more condition which can neutralize church if we will not meet that very important condition, and that's the holiness. No church ever grow without holiness. If we do have today here in the church people people who have a double life, they are in the family, they are one person, and here they are different. Those who are trapped in the sin. For example, if we have here people who are caught in the trap of pornography or other sins, the church simply will not grow till we cleanse them, till the Lord will purify the church. And that's why today we will talk about holiness. About the most important thing Because no church will ever succeed without purity and holiness. And we'll talk about two kinds of clothing, two types of clothing. One very attractive, which spreads around the fragrance, the aroma, like a French perfume. And another type of clothing, one which, excuse me, stinks, which has a pungent smell, which is which doesn't attract people. But of course, I would like to start with those, with that clothing which attracts people. And for this reason, we will see what Paul said, because he used two illustrations to show us these two kinds of clothing. And we'll read first in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must not longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkness in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And from verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to make new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we'll talk about these two kinds of clothing. One we have to take off, and immediately we have to put another one on. No one wants to be naked. We have to take off one and to put another one. And Paul was saying that the new one is our new self, is Christ. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He took on him my dirty clothing. One which was saturated with all the viruses, with microbes, with the diseases of this world. And he put on him that dirty clothing, and that caused him to suffer. During the camp, during the summer camp last year, I was doing this illustration. I was dressing one guy with dirty, with very, with dark clothing, and a lot of sin, pride, sexual sin, all the kinds of sins will be on him. And he has to take off this dirty clothing and to put on somebody, and that one will be punished. And that one is Jesus. But Jesus takes off his pure, completely white clothing and put on us. And when the Lord is looking at us, he doesn't see us. He sees his beloved Son, in whom he had all the pleasure. And when he looked at Jesus on the cross, he saw you. He saw me, full of sin, of diseases, of microbes, of viruses, and that caused him to be punished. And now turn with me to 2 Corinthians 2:14, and to look at this first type of clothing, that attractive clothing which Paul said that we have to put on. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him, for we are to God the aroma of Christ. And he uses an illustration of the triumphal procession of the Roman general. Every Roman general who adds some territory to the Roman Empire and will bring at least 5,000 prisoners will be met by the citizens of the capital city of Roman Empire with much glory, with much praise, And there will be actually organized a triumphal procession when he'll come back from the war. What was amazing, the whole city will stay at the city gates waiting for him. And he will enter in the city in the chariot. And in that chariot is not will be not only the general, but some people. And who are those people? They are the heroes of that war. Some simple soldiers. But they will stay there with him in this chariot. And all the way, in the all the entrance in the city will be spread with the rose petals. And up to 5 inches. And when the horses will step on those petals and will smash them, will trample them, the aroma will be spread around. Actually, the whole city, before they will anoint the frame of the windows and the doors, and they will prepare themselves for this celebration. And immediately that aroma will be in the air, and that will be association. When somebody will smell that rich aroma, that will be association with the victory, with the celebration. You know, for the people from the Soviet Union, we have a very strong association when we smell tangerines, oranges, because we had them only during the Christmas. And now when I smell orange, immediately the association with the Christmas. So wasn't that time. And Paul said, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who placed us, in Romanian translation, who put us in that triumphal chariot with Christ. He placed us in that triumphal chariot, and now we are spreading around this aroma, this fragrance, which is attractive for people. Why is it so important to spread around this aroma in these days? Because these days, we are living in a world which has, they have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, and they cannot hear. And the only sense for them is smelling. And if we are having Jesus' clothing on us, that attracts them to us. That makes them curious. And they would come to find more about us, about our God. And that's why Paul said, take off the wool felt and just be dressed and dress and put on this nice, attractive clothing which attracts people. I heard a story how once somebody visited a orphanage for the blind kids, and she was amazed to see a huge park around the orphanage which seems to him neglected. And she said, how you can treat the kids in this way? Why this park is neglected? And he got an answer. She was told that the park is not neglected. Yeah, doesn't look nice, but look at the bushes and look at the flowers. All of them spread such a nice aroma. And these kids will never be able to see, to look at this park. They don't need to see, they need to smell. And that's why for this blind world, you can be attractive or you can be repulsive. And Paul is saying, take off and turn with me to Ephesians again. And he says in 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted. I thought that when I came to Christ, the temptation will stop or they will not be so powerful. And I was wrong. I was wrong because the Bible says that actually your old self is being corrupted, is in the process of getting worse and worse. Bad news for you all. The flesh is getting worse and worse. And Paul was giving this illustration, which has been corrupted, because he wanted us to understand that when we carry on us this old self, it's not pleasant for the people around us. Let me tell you a story. Last year I was teaching in Poland, and I was teaching the same course which I taught you how to evangelize using only God's word, and I sent the whole church to go around and to evangelize people and to bring them in. And one sister came to me very excited and said, "Oh, I brought somebody and I would like you to meet him." And I started to walk toward that person, and when I was approaching to him, my stomach started to cry out to me, and the stomach was screaming on me, "If you will go, if you will approach this person, I will remind you what you had for your lunch." My mind was telling me go, but my stomach was saying, "No way, stop." Why? Because it was a homeless. And the smell was terrible. And they stopped because I was sure that something wrong will happen if I'll come closer. And I started to talk with him by far. And Paul said, that's when you have the world self on you. The people can't really approach you. Because the smell which is around you is not nice at all. And in that time, for a murderer, the worst punishment was to carry on him the dead body and to go from village to village carrying on him the dead body. And such a picture could be seen or observed only from far away because was impossible to approach to him. And Paul says, look, you have to take off your old self because the smell is not attractive at all. It's repulsive. And that's what happened with God when we continue to carry in us this old flesh, which is in process of decomposing, which is not getting better. And let's be practical, because I can see here in people feeling strong about these two kinds of smells. Let's see practically what Paul is saying to us. Look at verse 25. And we'll talk about the first clothing, because, you know, as a homeless, they have a lot of clothing on them. And it's the same picture here. A lot of dirty clothing on people. And first one, verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. The first pungent smelling clothing is falsehood, deceitfulness, lies. I remember one time a pastor from Alaska told me a story. He said, I was driving home without seatbelt on when a policeman, when Ernie stopped me. When a policeman, police officer stopped him, and till he approached the car, he was able to put his seatbelt on, and the policeman came and asked him, do you have your seatbelt on when I stopped you? And he had such a great desire to say, yes, of course. But he said, no. And the officer greeted him and let him go. It happened that that officer was a non-believer husband of one of the members of the church. And he told that night, he spoke to his wife and he said, listen, today I stopped your pastor. And I wondered, is he going to cheat me or to tell me the truth? And you know, I was amazed. Your pastor is a real believer. He told me the truth. And I let him go. I remember a story in my life. I didn't want to tell this story. For 1 year, I didn't tell anyone. I wanted to repent just before the Lord, not to before the congregation. I was in Egypt, and we had a very nice conference in Alexandria, and we had to drive from Alexandria to Cairo to fly from there to Europe, and I had actually 5 flights in line, so we had a connection of 5 flights, and I was with my teacher, a couple, they are around 65, and we drove to Cairo, but you know, Egyptians, they don't believe in traffic rules, and instead of 2 hours, it took us 5 hours to get to Cairo, and we came just before the flight, 45 minutes before the flight, but they have a rule, 45 minutes they will stop, they will not allow to go in. And my friends, my teachers, they were allowed to pass the customs, and they stopped me. I tried to explain, we are in a hurry, please let us go in, you let my friends, just let me go in. And they, the police officer was saying, no, no, no. And I didn't know how to convince him. Sometimes, you know, you have this sinful desire. Lord, you love him, let me send him to you. And was a time when I had a strong desire and spirit saying, no, no. And you know, here is this woman, 65 years old, and here I am, and he doesn't allow me to go through custom. And I was pleading him, please, please, they are my friends. And he was looking to her and said, who is her for you? And I immediately said, my wife. After that, the whole day was, I was shocked how easily I lied. And I understood that I took such a stinky clothing on me, and before Lord, was terrible. Nobody, of course, did know. He said, okay, go ahead. Of course, I lost all the flights, and we lost all together. But I didn't confess to anyone, but the whole day I was in that terrible situation that I just sinned in a such easy way. And the Lord said, now, you are believers. You belong to me. You put on this new self. Take off the clothing, which is not smelling good. And first one is falsehood. Let's go to see the second. The second one in verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. It's about anger. And sometimes we comfort ourselves, oh, God also has anger. But don't deceive yourself, because that's different anger. The word is different there. There is God's anger, which is more against the sin. And it's human anger, it's against people. Two kinds of anger, two different words. And I remember once I was in a car with one of the leaders of the church from my country. I was, in that time, a newborn believer, less than half a year. And I was driving with him, and in one place, some kids crossed the road, and they made a situation, a very dangerous situation. And that night, leader of the church went out from his car, and when he opened his mouth, oh, wasn't a sheep there, was a very angry wolf. And here were two those teeth. And I was looking at him, and I was judging him so strictly. I was saying, no, he's not a believer. No, it's impossible to be a believer and to have such anger. And I was judging him really strictly. But later, I wasn't judging me so strictly as I judged him. I don't know how it's with you, but when I'm getting angry and I'm shutting my mouth, I want to scream through my nose. And that's something that God wants to get rid of. It's something that is not attractive at all. It's something that makes us repelled, makes us scare the people. And that's why Lord wants us to take off this clothing. Let's look to the third type, which is in verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. It's about stealing. And you'll say, oh, come on, that's unbelievable. The stealing is a desire to possess. It's a stronger desire to receive than to give. And that's why Paul said, listen, you should not steal, but you have to work to give. Your desire to give should be much more stronger than the desire to receive. And you can check your heart. When you are coming to the church, what's your desire to receive? Or you are coming with the desire to give? And here I heard a story of a Ukrainian pastor. He told me an interesting story. He said that a deacon once came to him and he asked for help. He said, what should I do? You know that we used to live in a communist country, and we didn't have the private possession. We had only the collective life, collective business, let's say. Every member of the town will work for that collective company. During the day, we were working for a miserable salary, and during the night, everyone was stealing from that collective company. So, and that was normal. And here is this deacon, who was neighboring the collective company, and he is a hay stack, and he needed hay. But he knew that the director of that company, he didn't want to give to anyone hay, and that's why during the night everyone was stealing. And he said, listen, I don't need even to go and to steal. I can climb on my fence and to take. It's so easy, just near to my fence. And what should I do? I need hay. I know the director refuses to everyone. He doesn't want to give hay. So what should I do? And the pastor said, listen, I will go to talk with that director. And he talked to that director, and that director got shocked. And he said, I'm signing for 2 tons of hay for free, because this man had all the possibility to steal, and he didn't. And he knew that people are stealing. But that was such a testimony for a Christian who just keep himself clean. Just try to imagine what could happen if he will take some and the people around will see him. And here Paul said, your desire should be stronger in giving than in receiving. And when you come to the church, or when you are in this world wearing this clothing, on receiving, taking possession, having, and not giving, the smell is not effective at all. And he said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Take off this clothing. Today is the day when we can change our clothing. I don't know how great is your desire to change to renew your clothing. I know, looking at my daughter, she wants new clothes every day. And somewhere inside of my heart, I want also new clothes. And today is the day when we can renew our clothing and can change them. And first, for those who never put on them that nice smelling clothing, which is Christ alone, the pure one which will make you different, which will save you, because once you put on you that nice clothing, the Lord will not judge you anymore, because He is looking at you and He sees His Son. Today is a good day to make that step. If we have people who never experience on them the blessing of that pure, white, nice clothing, which spreads around that fragrance, attractive fragrance, today we will invite you to come here, to come in the front, and the elders will pray together with you, and that amazing, amazing event will happen today with you. But also we will invite people, those who are members of church, who know that sometimes they are wearing that pungent smelling clothing. And today we talk about these three types of clothing. And today we can renew our clothing. We can change our dresses. Today it's an amazing day when we can give freedom to this church. Because never a church will succeed if we have a double life. If we are different here than we are in our family. Today is the best day. We'll pray, and during the prayer, just try to have his victory about which John wrote. He said, who repents, he will win. And the repentance is a victory. I don't know who suggested to us that repentance is a shame. That's not from God. God always says that the repentance is a victory. Today is a wonderful day when we can have a victory. When we can stay in this triumphal chariot, and we can glorify God spreading around this nice aroma. Let's pray. And again, I'm inviting those who want to change their clothing, who want to put on them a new self, to come here in the front, and we will pray all together. If you hear well the voice of the Holy Spirit, He's convincing you that you have to change your clothing. Today is the best day. And again, you can come in front and we can pray together. That's an invitation for those who never experienced the Jesus clothing on them, but it's also an invitation for those people who are members of the church, who are newborn believers, but now they see the need of taking off some of the clothes which don't give honor to the Lord, and that's why you are invited also to come in front, to the front. Heavenly Father, we are coming before you to be taught by you, but also to be rebuked by you. And we know that you never leave us in a situation when we don't know what to do, because you are instructing us, giving us a clear understanding what we should do as newborn believers. And that's why we are asking this morning to just to judge our hearts, to reveal what is hidden, to destroy the double life and to make us pure, to get rid of hypocrisy in us, and to make us pure and clear to you and to the congregation. And we would like to ask the Holy Spirit to work in a full measure and to cleanse our church today. Convince, rebuke, instruct, and give us that wisdom which we need to live our daily life. We're asking in Jesus' name to make us pure, to make us a sound church, and to make us to succeed for your glory. And we know that you will answer, and you will give much more than we even didn't thought about, because we are asking in Jesus' holy name. Amen.